National Missions Incorporated in 1965. I wasn't born yet. While they were there, they established two churches, one in Osaka and one in Kobe. They helped to establish the Kansai Independent Baptist Bible School and served as the first president of that school. They served also as the Far East director for 10 years and then served as the president and general director of the Baptist International Missions Incorporated for 19 years. Today, Dr. Sisk was showing me his 50-year pin for BIMI, and I said, Doc, I don't think there's probably very many of those around. And he said, no, you're right, and he laughed at me like he normally does. What I do appreciate, one of the things that I appreciate about Dr. Sisk, there's many things that I do, is that he doesn't preach or he doesn't counsel from a standpoint of theory. He preaches and he counsels from a standpoint of truth and experience. And what he preaches, he lives. And he has already lived. And so I'm so thankful that he's able to be here with us. We did not get to do this last night, and I'm remiss in doing so. Would you help me welcome Dr. Sisk to our service tonight? Thanks for being here, Doc.
Thank you, Pastor. I was very hurt last night, okay? I doubt I'll ever get over that, okay? I've heard a lot of people sing that song, and a lot of times I've wondered, okay, but when I heard Miss Hayes sing that tonight, there was no wonder. I mean, she meant every word she was saying. I heard Brother Hayes talk about Turkey, Iran, Syria. And it's unbelievable how God had put the message on my heart tonight and thinking about things of that nature. And this morning early, and one advantage of traveling from the East Coast to the West Coast is there's a three-hour difference. So you get here in plenty of time. But you're used to waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and that's basically my time, somewhere between 5:30 and 6 o'clock. So this morning, I woke up at 2:45. And I began to read a passage of Scripture that I've read literally, hundreds and hundreds of times. And I've preached from it many, many times. The 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And I'm not preaching from that tonight. But the thing this morning, and that's the reason we know the Bible is the living Word of God. Because it doesn't matter how many times you read it, it's as fresh as if you had never read it before, you know. And, man, I just had a wonderful time. But the thing that impressed me this morning was this, the great love that God has for one lost sinner. I mean, what's one sheep among 100? What's one Roman pence? And that's exactly what one piece would amount to. What is one Roman pence to a woman? And then it's not really hard to figure out what one son is to a father, okay? But all three of those just show God's great love for anybody in the world. And it doesn't make any difference where somebody repents and trust Christ as Savior, it causes great joy in heaven. Amen. And I'm just so, just so impressed with God's great love for every person on the face of the earth. And we throw numbers around. Okay, 7.1 billion people on the face of the earth. And yet every one of them is precious in the eyes of God. There are no insignificant people. There are no unimportant people on the face of the earth. And what a great joy it is to be in a mission conference. I thank God for the missionaries that he's brought here. And one of the joys for me is I get to meet new missionaries. And eventually, before they get to the field, I meet about every Bible-believing, independent Baptist missionary that goes to the mission field, okay? And I don't remember all of them, okay. Pastor will remind you of that. I don't remember much, okay. But at least I get to meet them. And then when I hear about what's happening, for instance, Brother Lowe, he was with me several times. And just a unbelievable. I tell you what, we just about got in the spirit. Amen?
That's right.
With that song, I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. We might ought to sing that tomorrow night, okay? But that was good. Everything's been good, okay? And thank God for it. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and again, you'll stand with me for the reading of God's word. If you're able to stand, if for some reason you can't, certainly do not feel bad, okay? Genesis chapter 22, the Bible says in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord came unto him and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. By the way, if we're obedient the first time, we'll hear that second time too, okay? Dear Lord, we thank you for all we've heard and seen and felt tonight. It's been wonderful. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will continually have complete control of this service. And Lord, we again tonight will promise you that whatever you do, we will not steal your glory, but we'll give you all the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 1 and 7 and verse 11, we hear a refrain that Abraham keeps saying. Look at verse 1, the latter part of it. Here I am. Here I am. Okay, look at verse 7, the middle of that verse. Here am I. And then verse 11. Here am I. This is not an unusual phrase that we find in the Bible. We find different people making this same statement. For instance, Moses was out on the backside of the desert taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And one day when he was out there, he looked and he was a fugitive. He had had to leave Egypt because he'd killed a man and Pharaoh was after him and so forth. And he comes upon a bush and the bush is burning. And there is not anything unusual about a burning bush except the fact that this bush just kept burning and burning and burning and burning and it was not consumed. And Moses turned aside to see that. And all of a sudden, God spoke to Moses out of that bush. And when God spoke to Moses and called his name, you remember what Moses said? Here am I. Here am I. Abraham had had a wonderful experience with God. God had called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees. And now God is saying to Abraham, I want you to take your son. And before he said that, before he told him any of those things, when God began to speak to him, he just said, here am I. Here am I. In the sixth chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah saw the thrice holy God high and lifted up. And then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Here am I, what does it mean? Here am I, in essence, means this. I am at your disposal. I am at your disposal. I am totally committed to you. Here am I. What would happen if a church anywhere in the world, if the people would just simply say to God, I'm available, Lord. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to make the statement, the greatest ability in all of the world is availability. You see, God does not necessarily need strong people. He's omnipotent. God does not necessarily need smart people. He's omniscient. By the way, that's proven by the people that God called to preach, amen? He doesn't necessarily need smart people, okay? God needs people who are available to do whatever he wants them to do. Here am I. Here am I. Let's look at it for just a minute tonight. And listen to Abraham. Here am I. I'm ready to go wherever you want me to go. Now, he didn't say, I'm ready to go anywhere in California you want me to go. I'm ready to go anywhere in America that you want me to go. You see, if we're not careful, that's kind of the attitude we'll have. I'm willing to go anywhere I want to go. I'll never forget years ago hearing the testimony of Ron Bishop, who went to heaven just a few days ago. And Ron at that time was the athletic director at Tennessee Temple University. And Ron said he got saved when he was 16 years old. Soon after he got saved, he went to camp. And he's 16 years old, and there were some college girls that were counselors and so forth, and he really got a crush on one of those girls, okay? And that's not unusual for a young fellow to get a crush on a little older girl and so forth. And he really had a crush on it. And he said, I kept hearing missionaries say, I told God I'd go anywhere but Africa, and God sent me to Africa. I told God I'd go anywhere but China, and God sent me to China and so forth. And he said, I heard testimony like that. And he said, I began to pray, dear Lord, don't make me marry that girl. And go to Hawaii as a missionary, okay? And he said, sure enough, he didn't do either one, okay? I often tease college students when Isaiah said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And the average college young man today would say, dear Lord, here's my sister, send her. Go to any college, any Bible college in America, there are more young women that are willing to go to the mission field than there are men. Abraham said, here am I, send me. The amazing thing was, God had not told Abraham where to go when he first called him. In Genesis chapter 12, just listen to a couple of verses. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And then aren't we glad, and Abraham didn't have Hebrews chapter 11, but aren't we glad that we have Hebrews chapter 11 when we began to deal with all the great heroes of the faith and so forth? And listen to this verse. By faith, and by the way, that's what it takes in order to say to God, dear Lord, I believe that you know better than I do where I need to be, and therefore, here am I. I'm willing to go anywhere that you want me to go. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. Now, that's the secret, okay? Look at it. He obeyed, and listen to the next step. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. You know, one of the difficult things for missionaries is to go to your father-in-law and your mother-in-law and say to them, I'm going to take your daughter and your grandchildren to a foreign country. That's not an easy thing. But thank God at least we can tell them what country we're going to take them to. Amen. And Abraham went out not knowing where he went. And can't you imagine? He began to pack up his stuff to leave the Ur of the Chaldees. And people began to say, where are you going? And he said, I have no idea where I'm going. And they must have thought, Abraham, you've lost it. But he hadn't. He had found it. Amen. In other words, he didn't know where he was going, but he knew that God would tell him where he needed to go and so forth. Evidently, a lot of people are not saying, here am I, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I began preaching mission conferences back in 1975 when I became the Far Eastern Director of the IMI, and just about every week since then I've been in a mission conference somewhere. And I got a hold of this statistic back in 1975 that 6% of the world's population speaks English. And that means 94% of the people do not speak English. But the amazing thing is that 96% of all of the preaching that is done in the English language. And only 6% of the preaching that is done in other languages. Something is wrong with that statistic, is it not? In other words, 6% of all the preachers are preaching to 94% of the people of the world, and 94% are preaching to the 6%. Evidently, somebody has not listened to God and said, here am I, send me. I'll be willing to go wherever you want me to go. And I'll make a statement I've made many, many times, and I've been contradicted time after time. And I often say people have a right to be wrong if they want to. Amen. But I believe it from the depth of my heart. The happiest place in the whole world is where God wants you to be. See, it just makes sense. God made us, okay? God made us, and God knows where we would best fit in. I go to some countries and I wonder, how in the world could a missionary survive here? And people come to Japan, they wonder, well, how in the world could a missionary survive here? And I think anybody could survive here, okay? This is the one most wonderful place in the world. And I was only in Japan 10 years, but I never feel more like at home anywhere in the world than I do when I go back to Japan. God knows best where you would fit in. Here am I, send me. I'm ready to go wherever you want me to go. Number two, here am I. I'm ready to go when you want me to go. I'm ready to go when you want me to go. I meet people all the time that are going to do something sometime. I mean, you meet them every day. Well, one day I'm going to become a student of the Bible. One day I'm going to become a soul winner. One day I'm going to start tithing. One day I'm going to start giving to missions and so forth. One day I'm going to become a soul winner. And you can just go on and on and on. One day I'm going to obey God. One day I'm going to go wherever God wants me to go. The sad thing is, most of the people that's going to do it someday, they never do it. I like verse 3. Look at it. God told Abraham, listen, look at this. And God did tempt Abraham. It's not a temptation, it's a trial. By the way, in the Bible languages, both Hebrew and Greek, the same word is used for trial as is used for temptation. And so in the only way you can tell whether it's a trial or a temptation is to look at the context. And here he is not being tempted to do something evil, but he is being tried. Okay, for instance, Jesus was tried, okay? And the Bible tells us that God does not tempt any of us, and God cannot be tempted, okay? So in reality, here is a test, and God is testing Abraham, okay? And God did tempt Abraham. And he said, take now thy son. He didn't want Abraham to make a mistake, okay? By the way, aren't you glad God doesn't stutter? I mean, when God says something, it's just plain, it's just clear, and so on and so forth. And I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, here's what the Bible says, but I don't understand it. What does it really mean? It means exactly what it says. Let God speak for himself. Amen. And here. Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. And get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, the very next morning. By the way, I don't believe Abraham slept one wink that night. He might have had the best bed that particular generation could have possibly afforded. But I guarantee you, he didn't sleep a wink that night. My wife and I have a bed that, and for some reasons, every bed we get begins to go to the middle. So regardless of where we are, we all eventually get together, okay? And for about 2 years, we've been thinking about buying a new mattress. But the only problem now, there is so many kind of mattresses. For the life of us, we cannot figure out what to buy. You want to buy a number bed or a Tempur-Pedic bed or this kind of bed and so on and so forth. And I don't know what kind of bed Abraham had, but I'll guarantee you there was no sleep in that bed that night. And Abraham lay there thinking, I'm to take Isaac. Every promise God has made me rests in Isaac. I'm to take him and to Mount Moriah, and I'm to offer him there for a burnt offering. And he lay there and he thought about that. By the way, I cannot prove this, but for some reason, I just don't believe he told Sarah about it. I really don't, okay? Probably if he had, he'd have had a hard time, amen? But he lay there thinking about it, and look at it. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. He didn't have to have an alarm clock. He rose up early in the morning. He did not question God. In other words, Abraham knew God well enough to know, this is the voice of God. This is what God is saying. Oh, it is strange for sure, but I know it is God that's speaking. By the way, the Bible talks about Abraham being a friend of God. See, they were close to each other. They talked to each other all the time. And Abraham recognized the voice of God. And so he rose up early. He did not question God. He did not procrastinate. He didn't say, okay, it'll be good. I'll do this some other time, maybe a month from now, maybe a year from now. No. He rose up early in the morning. Look at it very carefully. And he rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him of. In other words, he did not procrastinate. He did not question God. He simply said, "Dear Lord, I'll go when you want me to go. I will go when you want me to go." I do not doubt there are people here tonight. You've been saying, "One day I'm going to really get serious about this matter. One day I'm really going to commit my life to God. One day I'm going to say to God, now God, here I am. I'll go anywhere you want me to go." And by the way, wouldn't it be wonderful if this would be the night when you would make a complete surrender to the Lord? Huh? Here am I. I'm willing to go when you want me to go. Number three, here am I. I'm willing to go where you want me to go. I'm willing to go when you want me to go. And I'm ready to go even though I don't understand it. It's if we're not careful, when God begins to speak with our heart, to our heart about doing something, it could be any number of things. I don't have any idea what God may be dealing with your heart about tonight. But if God's dealing with your heart, thank God for it. Amen. If he's not dealing with your heart, you better get on your knees somewhere. Amen. And ask God to speak to your heart. Abraham did not understand the situation at all. But even though he didn't understand, he still obeyed the Lord. Look at it, if you will. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide ye here in the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." Look at that statement very carefully. Again, aren't we glad we have the 11th chapter of Hebrews? Because in that Abraham believed that God was able to raise him from the dead. And so he says to his young men, "I'm going to Mount Moriah. I'm going to offer Isaac as a burnt offering, but he and I will come again to you." And God believed that even though he would slay Isaac, or Abraham believed that even though he would slay Isaac, that God would raise him from the dead. He didn't understand all that was going on. Listen to the conversation between Isaac and Abraham. "And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And Isaac was probably somewhere between 16 and 18 years of age, okay? He wasn't a little child. He was a young man. And he laid the wood and so forth on the shoulders of Isaac. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, 'My father?' And he said, 'Here am I.'" Abraham doesn't understand what's going on. He can't figure it all out and so forth. But he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb?" By the way, in John chapter 1, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, you remember what he said? "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Now here Isaac is saying, "Where is the lamb?" And John the Baptist said, "Here's the lamb." Amen. He will provide himself an offering. He didn't understand. Now, I cannot help but believe by verse 8 that Isaac has sort of come to the understanding that he's the lamb. Look at verse 8. "And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering.' So they went both of them together." In other words, evidently, by this time, Isaac has realized that he is the one that is to be sacrificed. And by the way, he offers himself willingly. Abraham's an old man, over 100 years old. He's an old man. Isaac is a young man. And there is no way that if Isaac had wanted to, that he could not have escaped from his father, Abraham, but he didn't. And so here we find Isaac offering himself as the lamb. And look at it. Can you imagine the agony right now in the heart of Abraham? And they came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Number four, Abraham said, here am I. I'm willing to give you whatever you want. Wow. And by the way, Abraham was a very rich man. And I believe from the depth of my heart, he would have given all of his riches rather than to give his own son to be sacrificed on that altar. But here we find him saying, I'm willing to give God anything he wants me to give him. And God wants you. By the way, God didn't want Isaac. God wanted Abraham. And Isaac was the test, okay? And I know this is kind of dangerous, but we're going to have our faith promise commitment on Sunday morning. And the bottom line is, God doesn't need my money, and God doesn't need your money. You say, then why are we going to be asked to give money for the work of God and so forth? You see, God doesn't need our money. God needs us. And God did not want Isaac. God wanted Abraham. And whatever God may be speaking to your heart about tonight as far as your giving, wouldn't it be wonderful if every member of Shadow Mountain Baptist Church would come Sunday morning prepared to say, here am I, dear Lord, I am willing to give you anything that you want me to give. I wonder what the faith promise commitment would be. Then the last thing, and I always love Paul Harvey's stories. Now you know the rest of the story. Most of them had good endings, okay? And don't you love a story with a good ending? And this one has a real good ending. Look at it. The total commitment of Abraham, okay? He laid Isaac upon the altar. And just put yourself now in the place of Abraham here. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, fully intending to do exactly what God told him to do. Now watch it. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Here am I. I'm ready to receive your provision. Here am I. And by the way, when we would be willing to say, here am I, I'm ready to go anywhere you want me to go. I'm willing, I'm ready to go anywhere you want me to go. Here am I am willing to go when you want me to go. Here am I am willing to go even though I don't understand it. I'm going to do what you told me to do even though I don't understand it. You remember a similar incident when Jesus said to Peter one day, and he'd got in Peter's boat, and they'd thrust out a little from the land, and then Jesus said to Peter, now launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or a great catch of fishes. You remember Peter's reply? Lord, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. That's the best time to fish. We've fished all night. We haven't taken anything. Evidently, there's no fish out there tonight. And I don't think that we're going to catch any fish. But then he went on to say, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And what Peter was saying, Lord, I don't think this is going to work, okay? But since you told me to do it, then I'm going to go ahead and do it. Has God ever dealt with your heart about something? The first thing you thought was, I don't think this is going to work. But God, you told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. And I look back over my own life, now nearly 60 years in preaching, 50 years in full-time Christian mission network and so forth. And I can honestly say everything God's done in my life has surprised me, okay? Time after time, when God would speak to me about something, the first thought I'd have was, Lord, I can't do this. I don't think this is going to work. But you told me to do it, so I'll go ahead and do it. By the way, when you obey, even though you don't understand, good things happen, amen. And here Abraham is saying, here am I, Lord. I'm ready to receive your provision. Now think about it. What if Abraham would have said, Lord, there are other mountains. There's no need to go all the way to Mount Moriah. I'll go to some other mountain. Or what if Abraham would have said, Lord, I'm going to do this, but not now. Now think about it. If he would have waited months, or if he would have went to another place, the lamb would not have been caught in the thicket. And here's a simple principle, okay? God's provision is in God's place at God's time. God's provision is in God's place at God's time. Here am I, Lord. I'm willing to go anywhere you want me to go. Here am I, Lord. I'm willing to go when you want me to go. Here am I, Lord. I'm willing to go even though I don't understand it. Here am I, Lord. I'm willing to give you anything you want from me. Hold loosely whatever God may put in your hand. And then we can say with Abraham, here am I. I'm ready to receive your provisions. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you available? That's all God's asking tonight. He's not asking if you are smart. He's not asking if you're strong. He's not asking all those kinds. No, no, no. All he's asking tonight is, are you available? Are you available? Wouldn't it be great if just all of us would get on our knees right now and just say to God, God, I'm available. I'm available. I'm ready to go wherever you want me to go. I'm ready to go when you want me to go, dear Lord. I'm not going to procrastinate. I'm not going to question you. Here am I. I'm ready to do it, even though I might understand some things. Here am I, Lord. I'm willing to give you anything you want me to give you. Nothing belongs to me. Everything belongs to you. Here am I, Lord. I'm ready to receive your provisions from me. Dear Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Have your will and way in our hearts and lives. As we have the invitation today, as the pianist plays, and God the Holy Spirit speaks to us. More, there may be some people here tonight that's been procrastinating. Maybe some people here tonight that's been holding out something. Something they know God wants them to do. Something they know God wants them to give. Somewhere they know God wants them to go. Dear Lord, speak to hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you'd like to use the altar, you'd like to use the place where you're at as an altar, to put yourself on God's altar and say, here am I. I'm available, Lord. I'm making myself available to you. As the pianist plays and God speaks, you say yes to him. I have decided to follow Jesus. You could not make a better decision.